Good morning. Welcome to House Plans. JD Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the buyer's broker, participating in the real estate market and mortgage lending and crazy times, Keith.
It's exciting, isn't it, JD?
Well, that's one word for it.
The world is changing so rapidly.
It is.
In every segment of business and our personal lives.
Absolutely.
Over the last 2 years that I've become shock proof.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, you're right. Nothing shocks you anymore.
Yeah, nothing shocks you anymore.
I mean, we got people slapping people's faces on TV. And I mean, this.
That was funny.
It was funny.
Bennett called me yesterday from Anderson and said, Dad, did you see that? Did you see Will Smith slap Chris Rock?
Well, I probably take heat for this, but can we have a little thicker skin? I mean, what do you think Chris Rock's going to do? I mean, he's a comedian.
Actually, he handled it. I thought he handled it perfectly.
He did. Absolutely.
But his jaw was swelling before the camera went off.
We had a conversation on one of my buddy's text chains. I said, comedians say all the things that many people are thinking. You know what I mean? But they get away with it. But I was,
I thought was funny was that the clip I saw showed Will Smith laughing at the joke.
Yeah.
And then, Jada looked at him.
Yeah, gave him the stern look.
Yeah.
Well, they've got kind of their relationship.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's some history.
Yeah. Let's peel back the onion a little bit on that deal. But
public history, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean. So, anyway, but it's crazy times for
now,
sure.
Now, by the way, that's the only part of the Oscars I watched.
Well, I didn't watch
it. Was a clip on YouTube.
You're right. Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't watch the Oscars.
For our audience.
Or Emmys or whatever. I don't watch any of that stuff. But anyway, but it's crazy.
The world is changing, isn't it? The real estate business is changing. The mortgage business is changing. You've got a lot to tell us today.
Oh, my gosh.
About the mortgage business and the changes in interest rates.
Keith, it's crazy.
The geopolitical situation is untenable. So
A lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, I think I'm going to turn it all off.
Well, I was in California for 2 weeks from vacation. I came back and I was doing a little show prep and started looking at interest rates, and I was in shock at where the rates are. And I'll give an update here in just a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I mean, I knew they were going up, but I had no idea, which is kind of crazy.
Higher highs.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. But, one thing we used to do on the show, Keith, I enjoyed lunch yesterday, by the way. It was good. And I got to give a shout out to two chefs. We used to do a little.
Oh, yeah.
We used to.
Food really, was part of the show for many years.
It was. And, obviously, we record the show on Wednesdays now, and it plays on Saturday morning. But we used to do a live show on Saturdays, and Friday night was dinner night. We always had some good or maybe even some bad this year.
Yeah.
But two chefs over on Pelham, they do a great job. And I know it's one of your favorite places. We've been there a few times now, and the food is outstanding.
Oh, it's
really
great.
Is.
And they have a great story. I think two chefs have been around about 15 or 18 years, but they also have one downtown at the corner of Stone Avenue and North Main Street. She runs that one, and he runs the one on Pelham Road. But I think, they have as good a reputation. And when I have people in town, Two Chefs is like one of the top two or three places to take them to lunch.
Yeah, 1A or 1B or whatever. Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, they do a great job for sure, and I think it's good. Hey, by the way, Keith, I've had the last 2 days, I've had boxes show up at my office.
Oh, yeah.
All that wine we ordered is starting to show up. So.
Those subscriptions under the influence. You can't cancel them.
I know. Well, we were careful about that, but it's nice to have. And, of course, Jennifer was like, let's open up one.
Well, the Clarks will be interested in participating.
We'll have to get you over there. Yeah, no doubt about it. So, anyway, well, listen, if you ever have a question you'd like to ask, we do have the email that's open, askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And we love email questions. We've got a couple email questions today that we'll go over as well. A lot to talk about. Obviously, the real estate market has stayed hot. A lot of things to talk about in that regard. Mortgage rates have gone up. A lot to talk about in that regard. And boy, I'll tell you, it was just you know, I don't even know hardly where to begin. But we will definitely get together on that. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll let you know as well if you'd like to reach us during the week, especially to get pre-qualified and go ahead and set your path to homeownership in place. You can reach us at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. And we have lots of loan officers standing by that would love to talk to you and get you pre-qualified. So headed to our first break. We're going to be back right after this here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We do appreciate you listening today. Lots to talk about in the real estate market. Lots to talk about in the mortgage market. And just a lot of things going on for sure. And you know, the tide is definitely changing in the real estate market for sure. I mean, competition is still very fierce, inventory very low, lots of offers, very few contracts. The way you go about getting offers and the way you go about getting contracts is changing. Pandemonium in the streets, Keith.
Confusion, frustration.
Yeah.
And the sellers are in control, JD.
Yeah, they are in control.
And they've been gaining control for the last couple of years. But sellers are in complete control today.
Well,
there's some risk in that if you're a buyer.
Okay? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I hear language like win the contract,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I don't know that you win a contract, right?
Right.
It's no longer a negotiation between the buyer and the seller. Well, there's actually maybe some truth to that, but we still have the money.
Right.
Right? The buyer still has to bring the money to the table. Now, if they don't, there's probably somebody else that will step right up to the plate. But having said that, using the word win on buying a house is not something that I'll
be comfortable with. Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of that has to do, you know, you found an article, and this is just from a week ago. Competition heats up with 5 offers per home sold. This is a national number.
That's right. That's a statistical calculation there.
Yeah. So 5 offers for every home sold in America.
On average.
That is a big, big number.
And of course, statistics can always be deceiving. It depends on every transaction is different and every listing is different. So every circumstance makes a difference in whether you're going to get 1 offer, 5 offers, or no offers, depending on location, condition, pricing. But on average, we're seeing multiple offers on most properties.
Well, we've talked about the March numbers in the upstate and some of the other markets that we track around, you know, South Carolina. Nationwide, 48% of buyers' offers were above the list price. This is according to NAR, National Association of Realtors. On average, those offers were about 3% above the list price on the median priced home. And let's see, 13% of the offers were 10% above the list price. Okay. You're getting a little squirmish over there.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable. And we have to keep in mind that some of these big markets, the one that comes to mind is San Francisco, because 50% of the homes in San Francisco now are above $1 million.
Golly.
And so the competition in the larger markets is fierce. That article came from a client in Chicago who had 50 showings over a 72-hour period and 5 offers all above asking price.
Yeah, 84% of listings were on the market for less than a month. So, you know, that tells you that, you know, nationwide, not just in the hot pockets, you know, the sellers are in control.
They're in control. And it, you know, I get uncomfortable because I've specialized in buyer agency for 32 years in the local market. But you need to be careful when you're investing this kind of money. You need to make sure that you're not bidding out of frustration.
Yeah,
that you're making a wise, what we call a wise buy, wise decision.
Yeah.
We've talked about overpaying for the right property. But statistically, as inventory goes down, I think it will go down close to a month in this next
you're probably
cycle.
Right.
You're all that makes me uncomfortable in terms of the health of the market. There's some structural problems with this. Now, in the Biden budget that he proposed this week, there's a big windfall for real estate. Of course, I personally, philosophically, am opposed to all that.
Yeah, where does that money come from?
Yeah, that's right. I'm opposed to all that because
right.
I think markets do better when they're just
natural
guidelines.
Yeah.
Let the details be worked out
sure.
by competition. But you know my thoughts that some of these structural problems, I think, come from previous government policies and intervention. But there's a big barrel of pork in the budget for real estate, primarily affordable housing.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, and that was one of the things that I was going to mention to you, Keith. You know, when you start talking about, you know, the buyers being in control or the sellers being in control and the buyers suffering out there, suffering to find a home, to get under contract, you know, you start wondering, okay, well, who are those buyers that are struggling? And, you know, almost under half, but about 45% or so of the potential home buyers are millennials. And I believe that's ages, you know, 25 to maybe 40 in that range is what we kind of define
that's
as
right.
a millennial.
That's right.
Many of those are first-time home buyers because they didn't buy
late household formation.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they're the ones that are really probably suffering more than any in regards to the, you know, the nature of the real estate market.
They are. And I just saw a recent round of venture capital raise for a company, JD, that will facilitate the purchase with cash. And so I was telling Mary, I think that what they do is help you buy the house for cash for a fee. And then they'll turn around and refinance the house for you.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So that you can be competitive in your offer.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Yeah, it is. Well, I know, you know, one good piece of information that I read this week, a lot of the millennials have used the pandemic sort of to be their financial advantage.
Yeah, to improve their balance.
Paid down some credit cards, maybe paid off a car. You know, you can't buy a car either. I mean, that's something else. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, you know, inventory in that regard. But I think, you know, like you say, improving the balance sheet, I think a lot of the millennials they're ready to buy. They just can't get under contract. I also read that, you know, my peers, Gen X, they're buying the most expensive homes, Keith.
Oh, yeah,
we're not slowing down.
They've got most of the money. The boomers got all the money.
Yep,
but
yep.
When the boomers pass, the X, Generation X, will have it all.
That's right. Well, it's you know, I found that, you know, I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, you know, we're now in our 50s.
That's right.
You know, Gen X. And, you know, that's when things have sort of the jello has congealed. You know what I mean? So, you know, you're not
waiting
any longer.
Well, you're at your highest, typically those years in the late 40s to late 50s are your the wage year, the years that you earn the most wages. Your balance sheet is sound, and you're in a position to buy that. What we historically have called a trophy home.
Yep.
But the trophy home's pretty expensive today, too, JD.
Yeah, it is. No, you're not kidding. Well, you know, we've probably looked at more. We've done more purchases in the last, I'm going to say 16 to 18 months, where the purchase price was over $1 million here in the upstate. Than we've done probably in the previous 10 years combined.
It's surprising. I looked at four patio homes Rosewood put on the market yesterday or day before out off of Woodruff Road. And they build a good product, JD. They've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Patio homes, very functional, very, very easy to live in.
Yeah.
But the pricing was in the 2,400 to 2,600 square feet. all above 600,000, I think.
Yeah, we're going to have them on the radio show here. We've I was talking to Brandon, who does a lot of business with them, yesterday.
Good.
And he's got somebody to come on. I thought it would be a great addition to the show. Have them on talking about new home sales.
Absolutely.
And just maybe some of the challenges that they're seeing from their perspective.
Yep.
You know, that are out
particularly
there.
Particularly supply chain issues.
Yes.
The price of lumber has been up and down and up and down over the last 2 years. Substitution of materials, having to extend deadlines. When you do all that, it creates turbulence for the buyer too. You know, if someone's relocating to the area, they've got temporary housing. You know, can you extend that? You make plans to do things, and delays in new construction present challenges too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they do as good a job of building a production home as anybody in the market.
Yeah, you're right. You know, one of the things too, Keith, that I'll tell you is many of our pre-qualified buyers, as well as buyers that are under contract, a lot of them kind of have sticker shock. And, you know, a lot of that comes from, you know, the pricing of homes going up so fast here over the last couple of years, as well as now interest rates being higher. I talked to one of our younger loan officers yesterday, and she got into the business right before the pandemic, so right before rates started to really drop. And she locked in a deal yesterday at like 5.25%. And you could just see she was almost, she goes, oh, I just felt terrible about it, you know, whatever. And I said, it's the market. There's nothing, you know, it's kind of like I used the example at lunch yesterday. You go buy a Bitcoin for $47,000 yesterday. Well, tomorrow it might be 53 or it might be 40. I mean,
that's
you don't
right.
have any control over that, you know. So I think there's a lot of sticker shock too.
And JD, some of the market, in particular the millennials and the next generation Zoomers, they've never seen interest rates at 5%.
Right. No, that's exactly. Well,
no, if you look back, I'm guessing they've been below 5 for 8 or 9 years.
It's been a little while. They may have reached over 5. You know, I need to go back and look at that, Keith, but I'm going to say maybe 2016 or 17, maybe in
may
there.
May have touched it.
Maybe touched it. Yeah, but it has not been very much more than that for any length of period of time, for sure. So, you know.
And when you think about it, my parents' mortgage in the 60s, JD, was 6.5%.
Yeah. No, that's right. Well, I'll tell you this. In 2003, which was the year I got married, I'll never forget interest rates. We got married on June the 14th. And I will never, excuse me, yeah, June the 14th. I always get my
son. Be careful.
I know. My son was born on June 20th. And I always, every time I say one, I think I'm talking about the other. But we went on our honeymoon. And I remember being torn, trying to convince my wife to come home early because rates had just fallen below 5. And I thought they would never get back to that point. And it was one of the first refi booms that, you know, we sort of experienced. You know,
and it's been going on, JD, since then, really, up and down the refi boom.
It's been 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, 20 years. So, you know, that's pretty amazing for sure. You're listening to The House Plans, JD Nelson and Keith Clark talking a little real estate today. We appreciate you listening in. The spring market is in full swing. I'm not sure you even call it a spring market anymore, Keith. I think it's just the real estate market.
No, it's continuous. Everybody took a week off for Christmas and the market.
Yeah.
Hit new highs.
It really did. Yeah. I'll be very interested to see as we wrap up March. We won't have the numbers next week, but maybe in 2 weeks we will. I'll be very curious to see how the numbers shake out in March.
No, and the big question is, will we see new inventory at the 1st of April? Traditionally, that's the beginning of the spring market.
Yeah, sure.
And so most people have been preparing their homes for sale during February and March, doing that punch list stuff, getting it cleaned up, doing the painting. And typically, inventory increases in that first part of April.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath.
No, I don't think so.
It'll be interesting. See, I think I don't have the numbers right here in front of me, but if I remember right, I think Greenville slightly went up. I want to say maybe 1.6 months. Is my memory that good, Keith? Or
actually, I think it went down 0.1%.
Okay, so it went down 0.1%.
From 1.5 months, which was 2,051 listings,
yeah,
to down to 1.4.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so it'll be
down. And even though that seems like a small increase or reduction in inventory, it's down 6.7%. So when you convert that one-tenth decrease
more
as a percentage is 6.7%.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. We appreciate you listening in. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We have some interest rate updates when we come back. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We do appreciate you listening in today. Want to get that email address out to you guys. We've gotten some great email questions over the last few weeks. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And so you can always just shoot us an email and we'll address your question on the air. Could be about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate. Maybe you have a mortgage question. We love the email questions from our listeners. So askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Feel free to shoot us that email. And Keith, you know, one of the things that as I kind of came back and I was doing a little show prep yesterday, I wanted to give an interest rate update. We try to do that, you know, with each show. And being out of pocket on vacation for a couple weeks, I knew that they were going up, but I was a little bit sticker shocked myself when I started really putting it together.
Well, what are you quoting today, Jay?
Well, let me tell you. So what a difference 6 months makes, right?
Yeah, and by the way, this is a Wednesday. We're recording on the Wednesday Saturday.
It could be totally different by the time you hear this. But I will tell you this. So 6 months ago, we were still 30-year fixed right around 3% and 15-year in the twos, you know, and that sort of thing. And so yesterday, Keith, okay, these are purchase. I didn't even refinance, cash out, and that kind of thing could be even higher than these. I almost felt embarrassed to even bring those rates with me. So these are just, you want to go out and buy you a house and do a 30-year fixed with good credit now, okay? And not only that, this is with no points or origination fees, okay? So this is kind of your standard vanilla ice cream kind of deal there. 30-year fixed and 20-year fixed, Keith, 4.75.
That's hard to believe.
Isn't it crazy? 15-year fixed, you're right around 4%. You probably get down into the threes, you know, with the right loan-to-value and that sort of thing. And I was kind of looking at 80%, you know, when I put these together. Jumbo's in the 5.5 range, okay, 30-year fixed. And now here's the one thing I will tell you. Many people don't know this, but the agencies, and I'm talking about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, have a rule, and that was implemented when they were created, that second homes and investment properties would never make up more than 7% of their entire portfolio. And as the years have gone on, more investors and more people have taken advantage over long-term financing because the interest rates are so good and financed second homes and investment properties in a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac type mortgage. And what has happened is that 7% number, we've gone over that number a little bit. So they're really trying to whittle that percentage down. And they've artificially sort of raised the rates. And this happened before the rates started going up. And second home and investment properties, you're in that 5.5 to 6% range on those. And that makes a big difference, Keith. You know, you start talking about rental properties.
That's a rental. Rents are a function of the cost of the money.
Yes. Yes.
And the house or the rental property itself.
Well, the property taxes and all that. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I expect to see rent. And rental amounts to continue
increase
to rise
in rents
because people are paying higher rates, you know, for the money that they're borrowing and that sort of thing. So, you know, that'll be a factor of this as well as we kind of move forward. But I was, the second home market, I mean, if you're putting 20% down, you're probably going to be over 6%, you know,
wow,
on a second home. And, you know, so that'll sober you up
JD,
a little bit as well.
That's closer to what historically has been the norm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, but even being in the mortgage business, you know, it almost makes me a little uncomfortable because rates have been so low for so long.
Yes.
You know, now, you know, I'm probably more comfortable with it than anyone is, but, you know, when you talk to somebody on the phone and you tell them 6% on that house at the lake that you want to buy, you know, they're going to be like, oh, what?
Yeah.
You know,
no, it makes you question whether to do it or not.
Right. And that's what we've been talking about, you know, over when will rates reach that point where everybody will just
resistance.
Put the brakes on and say, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to hold what I got right here. I'm just going to continue to rent for the time being, and let's see how this thing shakes out.
And that translates into with the property taxes. You know, property taxes are three times what they would be on a principal residence.
Yep.
The price of acquiring a rental house today is up 30% over the last 30 months.
Yep.
And then you add the increased cost of financing that rental property. And in order to make it break even, you really are going to have to increase the rent, the
yep.
market. And people know that. People who are renting, they know that.
Well, and I'll tell you this too, Keith. I think I saw a statistic that less than 1% of all the transactions are foreclosures. You don't have any foreclosures.
No.
Now, they put the moratorium out there that basically stopped the foreclosures for a long time. But, you know, there's not really any foreclosures. You know, the days of going out and finding, I'm going to find me a foreclosure and fix it up.
Yeah.
You know, those days, I mean, they'll come back at some point. But right now, you're not going to find that property.
And the reason that there's not any foreclosures, JD, is if you borrowed 100% to purchase a home a year ago, today, your LTV might be 85 or 86%.
Yeah, you're right.
And so if you can't pay the mortgage, then you just put a for sale sign in the front yard and you can sell the property.
Yep.
And put a little money in your pocket, too.
We had a buyer that, I'll give you two stories. We had a buyer that bought a house 2 months ago, and they had someone put a note on their front door that were offering about $40,000 or $50,000 more than what they paid for the house, and they are seriously considering selling and moving out for the quick gain.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, obviously, you know, now I made a C minus in accounting at the Citadel, so don't. This is not tax advice or any of that stuff, but I will tell you, you know, you're going to have some capital gains,
short term
sort of
capital gains tax.
Yep. But you know, 40 or 50 grand is 40 or 50 grand. I don't care how much the IRS takes on a quick turn like that.
And to move.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, another conversation. Rich Vaughn, who's in our office, I overheard him talking to a client yesterday. And they believe that homes are at the all-time high right now. And their idea is they're going to, now these are empty nesters, okay? Their kids just moved out and went to college. They're thinking about selling their home, cashing out for as much as they can, going to rent for about 2 or 3 years, let things settle back out, and try to jump back in the market at a lower number later.
Now think about what you're talking about. They're speculating on what they consider to be a bubble.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, that thought process may or may not be true.
May or may not, that's correct.
And you could, the increase in pricing 2 years from now might be another 30%.
Might be.
Only the marketplace will determine that.
Yeah, but I thought that was very interesting.
I thought you were going to say they were going to buy an RV, travel around the country, and then come back when prices came down.
Well, you know, maybe that will be what they do. You know, I don't know. I mean, but I can tell you this, they're thinking about throwing their chips into the middle, cashing in, and his words were, you know, we'll just find somewhere to live for 2 or 3 years. And then,
live with
and then
one of the kids.
Now, both of them work remote, okay? So, you know, it really doesn't matter, you know, where they are.
Right.
You know, I thought that was an interesting, you know, phenomenon.
Strange times. These conversations, if you had talked with me in the same way 5 years ago, I would have said you need to retire your...
It can make you a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. So, anyway, well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. Again, don't let this scare you, but 30-year fix in the upper fours right now. Of course, 15-year around that 4% mark. You know, jumbo second home and investment property money, you're going to be in those mid-fives when you're talking about fixed-rate money, which, you know, in the long term, still not that bad. I know it's a little bit shocking to hear, but not terrible. So, we're going to head into our final break of the show. You're listening to House Plans, JD. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We come back, we're going to tackle some of these email questions that we've got. Received some pretty good questions this week, and that's at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And we'll be back right after this here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson again, County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Having a great conversation today about real estate and mortgage lending. And we really appreciate all our listeners out there that have tuned in today. And Keith, it's just crazy times for sure. And I know you have seen a lot in your career over the last 30 years or whatever, but definitely uncharted waters. As
dramatic,
we've seen.
Dramatic changes, and also JD, we don't really know what's coming down with inflation the way it is.
Yeah,
the geopolitical circumstances. There's a good bit of uncertainty.
Yeah,
and people are ignoring it right now.
Yeah, or right now they are.
Yeah,
yeah. It so might not
we
be
don't know
you can.
What's going to happen, but
well, so we talk about how hard it is to get under contract. A, find the right house. B, get it under contract, and then C, a lot of people are waiving contingencies and this and that and the other. But one thing I wanted to mention, I have a client that emailed me, and this particular client is doing a 1031 tax exchange. They've got a property that is owned currently by an LLC with four members. And they want to transfer the property from the LLC to the individual so that they can in turn take 25% of the monies that they're going to receive from the sale of this property. And they're going to turn around and use that money in a 1031 tax exchange. And it can't sell as an LLC. And, my point on that was, people work so hard today to get a home under contract. You really have to be careful, especially when you're talking about title, because while that may be fine, especially if it's a cash deal, when it comes to if the person buying the house is getting a mortgage, sometimes you can end up in the ditch. And we had a deal that fell right into the same situation. And, I had the conversation with the closing attorney and said, listen, all this is fine what you're doing, but just remember, if you're going to transfer the property from an LLC to an individual, we got to have title work that says, the individuals are technically the ones selling. I got to get the appraisal changed as the owner of record. We got to do all the background stuff on each individual rather than the LLC. There's a lot of different things that are involved and not something you want to bring up the week of close. Title work is one of those key components to the deal. And of course, having a good legal professional, and there's many here in Greenville, having that person to kind of navigate those waters is important for sure.
No, it's critical. And what we always talk about, a good team of professionals when you do a real estate transaction. But what comes to my mind, JD, is you're talking about the mortgages. When you're spending your own money to buy property, your savings, you can do it the way you want to do it.
Yeah.
But the reason that the mortgage company requires these guidelines is that those loans are sold in the secondary market as bundled securities.
Sure.
And they have to fit those guidelines. Otherwise, you would not be able to borrow money, even as we're talking about 4.6, 4.75% money. That's still going to be the least expensive money you can borrow.
Yep.
The adjustable rate mortgages, although the inverted yield curve just occurred this week, I don't understand it as well as I should.
Yep.
But really, the short term interest rates have gone above long term interest
rates.
That's
right. Well, and I expect they just raised prime 25 basis points earlier this month, so now prime is at 3.5. But I fully expect that to be north of 4 here very soon, which brings up a great point. One of our email questions was actually, hey, I'm getting ready to do a $75,000 renovation, redoing some bathrooms in my home and that kind of thing. And they were asking, should I take the equity out and pay a higher rate on a fixed by refinancing my first mortgage, or should I do a home equity line of credit? And, of course, right now the home equity line of credit is a variable rate based on prime, which is what most of them are. There may be, that might be the right avenue that they want to take, but it is variable. So you have to remember, every time the Fed meets and they raise the rates a quarter or a half point, and they can raise them 2 or 3 points in a year. That's probably the avenue we're going to go down. You need to know that going into the situation to make a decision. Yeah, you have this first mortgage and maybe you're at 3%. You know, if the second mortgage is at 7% or 8% or whatever it might be, because many times those equity lines are prime plus type products, you have to kind of look at your, balance the equivalency rate between the two to figure out, do I want it that way or do I just pay, 4.75% or 5% now and bite the bullet and move on?
And getting a customized mortgage solution to determine what's best for you is the right way to approach. Looking at the big picture, not just the interest rate only.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Another question, which actually we probably have not talked about this product in some time. Got an email from a client this week that asked, they have an elderly parent that is selling their current home in another city. They're moving to Greenville, Keith, and they want to purchase the home for them. And, they don't want to pay the investment property rate. And they were just asking me if there are any, different products that are out there or things that they can do. And I thought it was very interesting. So Fannie Mae has two programs that many people don't know about. One is the Elderly Parent Program. And what that does, Keith, is you can purchase a home for a retired parent. You can do the mortgage in your name. And I can't remember if the parent has to be on title or not. I think that they do, but I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to check that. But you can actually purchase that property for them. And instead of paying an investment property interest rate, you can do that as a primary residence.
Is that right? Now, I did not know that.
And you can do a 95%. You can put as little as 5% down.
As long as you qualify.
As long as you qualify and all that, yep. And, it's a great program. Something happens to the parent and they pass away, you've already got the mortgage in your name. You don't have to go, having to redo all that and everything. And you get the benefit of getting a primary residence interest rate.
Yeah, and if title is held jointly, then it passes immediately to the child.
You can do joint rights of survivor. So it's a great program. So I had a conversation with them. They were going to put more than 5% down, but you can use the parent's money for the down payment. That's fine. So it's a Fannie Mae driven program. It's a good program for anybody that has. Maybe some of the millennials or Gen Xers, we're all starting to go through, some of that. The parents are getting a little bit older and you want to maybe take advantage of that. Of course, we can do that at County Bank for you. The other program, it's a Fannie Mae program, is a disabled child program. And they will allow you to do the same exact thing for a disabled child. Might be somebody who can live on their own, depending on what the disability is. But it also creates a great opportunity there. You can put the mortgage in your name. You can buy it. You can get primary residence interest rates and work that situation out as well. And, many people do not know about those kind of specific programs that are out there.
Well, you don't come into contact with it very often. So you wouldn't know until you're in that situation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you can save yourself maybe 0.75% or 1% on a mortgage and maybe not have to put as much money down, which is always a plus too, when you're talking about, those kind of situations. So it will be very interesting. So, Keith, I'm going to put you on the spot like I always like to do.
Do it, JD.
Let's hear some predictions of what you think is going to happen from March. Now, I've got some ideas on it. I don't have the March 21 numbers in front of me, so I don't know. I think I remember March 21 being pretty strong. I'm going to say that we're going to be up in homes. Home sales, but I think it's going to be just a little bit, Keith. I don't think it's going to be a big number, but the most important number is that inventory number, and I think we're going to be level. I don't think it's going to go up or down. I think it's going to be the same.
Yeah, that's a tough call, JD. I actually, my instincts tell me that we're going to struggle with inventory down in that one month
range. Right,
so I expect it to trickle down a little bit. I hope I'm wrong about that.
Right.
But the way I see it is that as interest rates rise, you're going to even see more demand in the short term because
I understand
people do not want to wait.
Panic mode.
Yeah, they're in a panic mode that I need to secure a home. And in the short term, I think that's going to keep inventory low. And I think we won't see any relief until the fall or winter next year.
Yeah.
Now, I could be wrong, but I just don't see with inflation the way it is, the oil prices continue to remain high, and it doesn't seem like the current administration wants to increase the supply of oil and gasoline. That's going to continue to ripple through consumer goods across all types of consumables. And I hate to be pessimistic.
No, I hear you. But I was just thinking to myself, I said, wouldn't it be fantastic? And you're going to have to go through some suffering to get to this point, to get inventory up to about 3 months inventory. Get things just sort of settled out, let everything kind of settle down a little bit. But it's going to take some time to get there.
Oh, it will. And even at 3 months, JD, where you have an orderly process, today it's not much of an orderly process. There's
it's kind of chaos.
A lot of panic and people making decisions without thinking through what they're doing. Trying to make a decision about buying a home in 45 minutes or an hour.
And yeah, which is not.
That makes no sense, right? But that's the way you have to operate today.
Yeah.
So it is going to take some time. But even if we had 3 months of inventory, JD, that's not equal. 6 months of inventory is equilibrium between the buyer and the seller. So the seller's going to be in control for some time to come. And when they're in control, then it's generally speaking, it's going to drive prices even higher.
Yep, you're exactly right. Well, listen, we appreciate all our listeners out there today. You've been listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. And we're going to wrap up the show this week. Again, if you have an email question you'd like to send in, it's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And, of course, you can reach us during the week. Get pre-qualified at 331 Home. That's 331-4663. We'll be back next week here on House Plan.